Here's Sierra Dierking.
Even though my heart hurts so much that my kids have a mom without arms and legs because I can't help them in the ways that I used to, but I see that they have this idea that heaven is way better than this earth ever could be.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Heaven Rules. For November 26, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. For the last couple of days, we've been hearing the story of Sierra and David Dierking. Sierra went into the hospital because she wasn't feeling well. Upon examination, the doctors explained to her that what was happening in her body was very serious. Ultimately, because of an infection, doctors amputated not only her arms, but also her legs.
Honestly, it still felt like I had my hands and my feet. And so I just remember the moment that I found out I did not, just by honestly looking down. I had not even thought of looking because it felt like I had my limbs. And then I remember seeing the bandages and realizing what had happened. And that was devastating.
We heard how Sierra fought despair by maintaining a thankful heart. If you haven't already heard the full story, make sure to visit reviveourhearts.com and listen to the previous programs from this week or listen on the Revive Our Hearts app. In early October, Sierra was able to attend the True Woman 25 conference, and I had the opportunity to interview her from the platform.
There have been moments in this journey where I truly doubted my salvation. In the hospital, that was the lowest point in my whole life. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe on my own. I couldn't talk. I couldn't eat or drink. And I selfishly wondered why God had kept me alive. Why? And I really was struggling, wishing that things were different and questioning God. And he was so gracious to bring back scripture to my mind from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I had to pray through that. I said, God, it feels like I'm in want. It feels like you've taken too much from me.
Yeah.
And I will admit that it took me really a full year of questioning and studying why is the Bible true? Like, am I sure of what I believe in? And did Jesus Christ really raise from the dead? Do I have hope after this life? And God, again, was so gracious. I feel like just recently, he convicted me that I was relying on my feelings and not on his true word, not on the words that he's written about himself. He says over and over again that he is good. He's merciful. He's patient. And he's our loving father. And so, yes, I questioned many times how a good God could do this. But today I'm so thankful for the work he's done in my heart that I can truly say God is good.
Wow. Wow. You say the word thankful.
Yes.
I heard your mother-in-law found something that was cultivating that thankfulness in you for this moment. What was that?
Yes, Nancy's book, Choosing Gratitude. I had been an ungrateful person before this, and I knew it. It was something I struggled with. And so I was reading through that book for the second or third time on our way to Pennsylvania, and she found it in my bag after I'd gone to the hospital. And then I read through it again when I came home from the hospital. So,
and then all your underlines are there on the screen.
Yeah.
Is you, the Lord?
How embarrassing that everyone's looking at all the things I wrote.
Give us an update. How are you now? What's going on now?
Now I have spent the last year going to appointments, prosthetic appointments to get some arms and legs and rehab appointments. Also learning how to drive my wheelchair. I've taken out big chunks of the wall and some doors off the hinges, so I'm fully licensed now, don't worry.
Oh, you are just precious. You know who else is precious is your husband.
Yes.
Tell us about him.
He is a true servant. He fills all the roles that he has to do without complaint, and he has a lot of roles. He's husband, caregiver, father, full-time worker, and I also hired him for my company that I decided to start for the t-shirts and the watercolors. So he's my only and my best employee. Yes.
Okay, tell us about the company, because you have begun painting.
Yes.
Were you painting before?
No, I didn't have time before. I was too busy perfecting the home, and I cannot do hardly anything with my prosthetic arms. Like, I can lift very light things. So I decided I'll lift up a paintbrush and give it that a try. And that's been such a gift from God. It's something creative and beautiful, and I hope to use it to encourage other people.
Beautiful. Gorgeous. You said Psalm 23.
Yes.
You have arranged a new way of reading the word. You have a ledge in your home.
Yes.
Where you put the word up for you to read and be in. Tell us how the word has been a part of your journey.
Yes. When I first came home from the hospital, I had an amazing friend and mentor who would come to my house every week, and she would bring me handwritten note cards that had verses on them that I was supposed to meditate on and memorize before I saw her next week. And those verses truly kept me going. I mean, there were times I did not want to read the Bible. I just, you know, I was doubting God. I didn't feel like reading his word, but having this friend come and encourage me in that way was such a huge blessing, because I was accountable to her. Mm. And those words, they spoke to me everywhere. I would memorize them, and when I was outside with the kids, those words would come back to me and just encourage me over and over and over again. And one of the ones that she first wrote out, she taped to my hospital bed. It was in the Psalms, "God, you are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes." And I would just pray every morning, "God, help me to see your goodness today. Help me to understand your word. Help me to want to read it." Because I knew, even though I didn't want to read it, also, where else was I going to turn? There was nothing else that was going to bring me satisfaction. I wasn't able to do any of the things I used to do or be the person I used to be. Mm. And in his word, I truly did find it satisfied.
Wow. You truly put your hope in the word.
I did, yes.
Are you inspired? They're waving,
I feel like that's the Holy Spirit. I feel like truly God is so good to give us the Holy Spirit inside of us, that he would keep drawing us back again and again to God's word, even when we and our flesh don't want to go. He's drawing us back.
Wow. The beauty of Christ in you is breathtaking. I think I know you well enough to know that you guys want to get around her and pray for her. Should we pray for her? Yeah, Lord Jesus, we just lift up to you Sierra and her family, and we pray. We thank you. We are grateful for the example that she has given us of hoping in you and waiting on you. Thank you, Lord, that you have not taken away but given purpose. Thank you, Lord, that she is teaching us today through her testimony. And Father, will you just, Lord, make these arms and these legs she's waiting on work beautifully. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you for the life of Sierra. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you, friend. Again, that's a conversation Sierra Dierking and I had in front of thousands of women at a recent True Woman conference. At that conference, one of the breakout session leaders was Gretchen Saffels.
Jesus is the embodiment of God's message of salvation and grace. If we want to know God, we have to through his son, Jesus Christ. He is the better word, he's the best word, and he is the final word.
Gretchen is the author of The Well-Watered Woman. Sierra had benefited from Gretchen's ministry before getting sick and hoped to meet the author who inspired her. And Gretchen had seen the video Revive Our Hearts produced with David and Sierra. She was excited to meet Sierra. So we surprised Sierra with a get-together to meet Gretchen and then talk about the ways God's word can help us through times of suffering. Let's listen.
So I want to hear what the Lord has been teaching you recently. Like, just very recently.
Recently, I really feel like he's been teaching me that he is good and only good. Mm. I was telling Dave and some of our friends that all along I've said God is good, and I said it and I wanted to believe it.
Yeah.
I really did. And I wasn't saying a lie, but over the past just like few months, I've really dug in deep to see his character and just really looking at the suffering of his own son and through all that. And also just saying, I'm living by my feelings. Like, I don't feel like you're good. And that's what I've been choosing to believe. So just in the past few months, realizing that I have to live by faith in his word of who he says he is and not just how I feel in the moment. So that's been something that's been really encouraging and special. And I'm sure more trials will come and maybe I'll have to relearn all of that. But for now, it's just good to remember that and to be able to say it and fully believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a testimony of that. I think of just good and how I define it. And
right.
that it's not the same as how God defines it, because he sees yeah. a much bigger picture. And in Psalm 136, where, you know, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. One year, I tried to memorize it. I think it's mostly gone out of my brain now. I need to refresh. But as I was going, the stanzas would say, you know, he crashed the Red Sea over Pharaoh and his
right.
armies. And then it says, for he is good,
yeah.
and his love endures forever. And then, you know, it starts with creation, and it's kind of going through each thing that God had did to deliver the Israelites. But some of them, if you just stop in the middle, you go, wait, how is God good and his love endured forever in that moment? And so if you okay. only saw that one little moment, it's hard to really believe that.
Right.
And I think of the song, you know, where our faith shall be made sight.
Yeah.
And how we're all walking through this world with kind of, we can only see this little bit.
Yeah.
And then God gives us this bigger picture of, okay, how I'm going to see him, and am I going to really trust him in this moment?
Right.
And I want to know even just how you've grown in your dependence on him in this season.
Yes, when I came from the hospital,
And what year was that?
It was last June.
It was just last June?
It was last June.
I thought it was in 2020.
So,
okay.
2024.
Okay.
Yes, I came home from the hospital, and I have never felt so low in my entire life. I was truly dependent on other people for everything. I could
yeah.
not even roll over
yes.
by myself. So I was like, I feel like I'm a baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, babies are dependent on us for everything. And that's how I felt. And my mentor, she said, you're just going to have to take everything to God.
Yeah.
And so I did. I mean, everything. He probably got tired of hearing all the things.
No way.
I know he does not.
Yeah.
But things that you would never have thought you would need to pray for,
yeah.
I prayed for. And so as I've become more independent, that's been an interesting mm-hmm. kind of struggle because, and especially with the phone, that is such, it feels like it's calling to you, like mm-hmm. you can accomplish
it's
so
like
much on it.
It's like magnetic somehow.
Yes. But if I rush over there and don't start my day praying through all the different areas that we're going to need help for, it feels so chaotic in my heart.
Yeah.
And so I've had to be careful as I'm able to do more that I am still asking God
yeah.
to help me in all the areas, because we really do need help in all the areas,
yes.
even if we don't know it yet.
Yes. His power is made perfect in weakness.
Right. Yes.
And to be able to see that is like a little glimpse of heaven.
Thank you.
And so seeing that in your story is just such a gift. And seeing, and I know it's so hard. It is not easy.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's going to be moments of just crying out to the Lord. And I can just see his mercy and his salvation in your life. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. I think that something that has given me so much hope, and probably other people who've gone through suffering and big trials know this too, is the hope of heaven.
Yeah.
Like I tell people all the time, if I didn't have that, I don't know, I wouldn't be able to go through this with joy, because
no.
this would be all that there was.
Yes.
And so especially in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, I've just been camped out there a lot.
Yeah.
Just looking at how these earthly tents They are. They're falling apart. Yeah. And mine fell apart much faster than some others. But we have that hope of heaven where we're going to have our spiritual souls and new bodies.
Redeemed. I'm like, what's that going to be like, Lord?
Yes. And my four-year-old, he is so cute. He's like, Mom, watch me. And he's like doing all these robot moves with his hands. And he's like, when you get to heaven, you can do the robot dance.
Were you like, I can't wait to do that.
And so I love that even though my heart hurts so much that my kids have a mom without arms and legs because I can't help them in the ways that I used to. In fact, they have to help me with a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that feels really hard. It feels very backwards. Mm. And but I see that they have a picture of heaven and eternity that I did not have when I was that age. I did not want Jesus to come back till I went to Disney. I was like, don't come back, Lord. I'm not done here.
I used to have different milestones that I would go, please don't come back until I get married. Or please don't come back till, you know, I have a house. Yeah. All these little things because I didn't have a good view of heaven
and how much better this is going to be. Yes. So I feel like in that way, they're blessed to have this idea that heaven is way better than this earth ever could be.
Yeah.
And we'll all be there together, Lord willing.
Yes.
And we'll be able to run and do the robot dance together again.
Yes. So, in these redeemed bodies that don't have sicknesses, that are fully, I mean, we're just going to dance together.
Yes.
Yeah. And that even now, though, as believers, our hearts are one. And we come together and we pray for each other and we support one another. And so even in these moments of just what is happening. And I even just hearing that about your boys, I'm like, they have actually been given an amazing gift from God to be able to see that at such an early age and to encounter his goodness at that age. And again, it's good, not defined like we think good is.
Right.
Because we think good is easy,
yes,
is affluent, is, you know, it's like, oh, that's
right.
Good. I want to go through like good times. But the whole Bible is kind of the opposite of that.
I know. And I don't know how I never saw that before, honestly.
Yeah.
When this happened to me, I was like, oh my goodness, what did I do to deserve this? And then the more I dug into scripture, I was like, oh my goodness, there is suffering in all the stories.
Yes.
And especially the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming down. And the fact that he went through everything that I've been through makes me appreciate him so much more because I have been— it was rough. It was really, really bad.
Yes.
And just the fact that he chose to do that, I cannot say that I would have chosen that.
Yes.
I would I'm selfish. I would have said, no, thank you.
We all are.
Yes. But the fact that he did that for us, sinful people, we weren't even good. So,
How would you define good now based off of knowing that the Lord is good and it's his steadfast love endures forever? And I've had to remember that in trials that I've gone through postpartum depression really bad and just all kinds of things. We were talking a little bit earlier about panic attacks. Yeah. I mean, debilitating panic attacks that I would say, God, I don't know if I can follow you anymore if I'm going to keep having these.
Right.
And yet he kept, come back to me. And so I had to redefine what is the goodness of God in these moments? Because that's where a lot of people's faith falls apart because something bad happens and they go, how can God be good in this moment?
I think his goodness is being with us in the suffering. He says he draws near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. And the fact that God would want to draw near when we are in such a low, terrible point.
Yeah.
Just shows how good and loving he is. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, I think Nancy says that whatever makes you need the Lord is a blessing. And so trials like this that just push you into God are in a way good, even though they feel very terrible.
It feels terrible. And the world, then they see the testimony of God's strength. But it doesn't mean that we don't cry and we don't— you know, question and call out to God. I mean, we see that in the Psalms.
Yeah.
I always think of Psalm 88. It starts really sad and it ends really sad.
Oh.
And it's so interesting because you've got Psalm 13 that, you know, starts like, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you turn your face from me? And you're just feeling that anguish. And then in the end, he turns back and he says, but I will hope in your steadfast love. But Psalm 88 isn't like that.
Hmm.
You know, he says, my darkness is my companion, and it's this really just heavy psalm that God put in Scripture. And I'm so comforted to know that we have a God who is not afraid of these hard feelings, that we right. he's not disappointed when we're disappointed right. or when we're discouraged or when we're crying out to him. Because yeah. even Jesus, you know, God in human flesh that experienced what we experience, he grasped that too.
Right.
And yes. so it's like the fact that we have these moments where we can experience that is just, it is good. But it's a different kind of good.
A different kind, yes.
It's a heavenly good. And so as you have just navigated, I mean, this is only a year of just life change mm-hmm. and to see your faith. And I know that as Revive Our Hearts has shared your story, they've shared about gratitude.
Yes.
And how you've I want to hear more of how you've chosen gratitude. I mean, how has that practically looked in those moments where— I mean, everybody would say, you don't have to be grateful. And yet, you know, God is, he's moving in your heart and he's using you to show us what it really means to choose that gratitude.
Yes. In the hospital, Dave and I were talking and I think we realized that if we weren't grateful, we were going to get kind of just pulled under. Mm-hmm. As me especially, I was just ready to, every time I thought about what I lost, it was a pity party.
Yeah.
And just if I had followed that path, I was going to be depressed.
Yeah.
And so we decided we're going to find three things to write down that we're thankful for. And in the hospital, it was like a new hospital gown.
That's what I was wondering. What was, yes.
Oh, it was, yeah. It was that, a visitor, some flowers. Like it was things like that in the hospital. And then when I got home, it was my kids. Yeah. I was back at home with my kids and I could see trees and go outside. And
yeah.
and it continues to be some kind of funny things because so much is taken away that a lot of things I'm really grateful for that some people might be like, that is weird.
Like what?
Brushing my own teeth. I'm so thankful.
Yes.
Nobody does it as good as I do. So
yes.
I was so grateful to brush my own teeth and feed myself,
yeah.
drink water, breathe
yes.
without a ventilator,
yes.
get out of bed, and just go outside. I remember the first time I went outside and it was raining. I was like, I used to hate the rain. I used to complain because it ruined my hair that I had spent so long on.
Yes.
But that day I was just like, I am so glad to be outside. Like, thank you, God, that I can be outside. So in a lot of ways, it took me from a very ungrateful
yeah.
person who thought they deserved so much
yeah.
into somebody who realized how much we don't deserve and how even each little thing is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And I still have to practice that. I still try and throw pity parties.
Yes.
So it's definitely a journey I'm still learning because— in my flesh, I still think I deserve so much.
Yeah.
And it's just eye-opening to realize we don't deserve anything.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I just think of, there's times where, you know, my husband, and I hate to say this, he'll say, I'll be having a bad day. And he'll say, what are you grateful? And I'll go, nothing. You know, just in one of those pity party moments where you're like, I'm not grateful for anything. Yeah. And I'm just going to say it. And every time that comes out, I mean, it's right away. It's wow. Wow, like the Lord has given you so much to be grateful for. And so even hearing you say this, and I've read Nancy's Choosing Gratitude
yes.
too, and I remember feeling so convicted about literally the little things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I grateful for this soap? I mean, you know, that
right.
is going to cleanse my stinky, smelly body. Like, am I grateful for this?
Right.
Because if we're going to overlook those small mercies and small graces— then we're definitely going to overlook the big ones from
yes.
the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I have to be needy for God. Like being a believer who is going to follow him, it requires complete dependence and surrender. And I've had seasons where I've gone, this is so hard, God. I don't know if I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in that surrender. I mean, that's where the joy is.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the joy and the gratitude comes from. It's when I can say, not I, but he.
Right.
Like, it's not me, it's Christ in me. And in those moments where I start to go, does God really love me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that there's been times where, you know, after just what happened last year, that you would go, does God really love me?
Right.
That, like you've said, we look to his son.
Yes.
And that he does.
Yes. And I think before this, I had never focus much on the suffering of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The fact that he, I read this in one of Johnny's books, he truly disabled himself when he came from a perfect heaven to come down to such a broken world. Mm. And all along, he knew how it was going to end.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, the very, and I even think of him with his disciples. When I'm having a hard day with my kids, I'm thinking, Jesus, the perfect person, mm. had 12 young guys with him, and he was perfectly patient.
Yes.
And so good. And I, an imperfect person, am so annoyed when my children act like little yes. sinners. And it's just so convicting to see, yes,
yeah.
the perfect Son of God coming down mm-hmm. and suffering for us. Yes.
And he's our helper in those moments right. where we're just going, child, you know, can't you get it? Or, you yes. know, when you're so tired at the end of the day, and that's when they have their faith questions.
Oh, yes.
That's when all of a sudden they're going, I was wondering this about God. And it's in that moment where you're going, Holy Spirit, I need you yes. to take over, because in my flesh, I can't do this.
Yes.
But it's only through his Spirit helping us.
Absolutely. The night, well, about two nights before we came up here, we'd had a particularly rough day with one of my kids. Yeah. And I tucked him into bed, and I wanted to roll out of there so fast. But I felt like the Holy Spirit was just saying, stay. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed, and he opened up, and he just shared a lot of things that were on his mind and things that we could pray about. Yeah. It was just a really special time that I would have missed
yes.
because I really just was like, oh, I'm so done with this day. But yeah. the Holy Spirit is so good to give us those little promptings like, you need to stay. This yeah. is the time to stay. So,
and then in the moment where you actually do and you can see, wow, God, he had something that he was going to do. Because
right.
I've had times where I have felt that nudge and I've pushed away from it. And even it's like immediately after I know, wow, I was not listening and following the Holy Spirit's lead. And it is always worth it to mm-hmm. empty ourselves in yeah. those moments and to die to, like, I want to go to bed right now.
Right.
I don't want to have to talk right now, but he is going to help me.
Yes.
We're hearing a conversation between Gretchen Saffels, author of The Well-Watered Woman, and Sierra Dierking. They recorded this interview at the True Woman 25 conference. Our theme was the Word. Behold the wonder. At the conference, both Gretchen and Sierra participated in a recitation of Psalm 119. They'll share about that experience in just a minute. But first, let's get a flavor of what that recitation was like.
Remember your word to your servant, in which you give me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law.
Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word.
I am your servant. Give me understanding so that I may know your decrees. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have violated your instruction.
Let my cry reach you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea reach you. Rescue me according to your promise.
Gretchen Saffels and Sierra Dierking both participated in the Psalm 119 recitation, and they talked about how they prepared.
Nancy had us memorize the four scriptures, and that was
yes.
so wonderful.
Yeah.
I would even, like, if the boys were being crazy, I would just start quoting scripture out loud.
I love that.
They would turn around and be like, Mom.
Yes.
But I'm like, we just need some peace here. And
yeah.
I don't know any other way to bring peace than just try and quote some scripture and pray. So
yes.
I need to do better about that,
yeah.
memorizing scripture.
That was really convicting. Years ago, I was pretty consistent with it, and it was partly, I had a mentor. She would challenge me, and we'd memorize like a
yeah.
bigger passage together. And then she passed away, and I had children, and then they just zap a lot from your brain.
Yes.
And my brain has never recovered from children. And so it's easy to think, though, that, oh, well, I can't do that. Like, my brain's too tired. And so when Nancy challenged us to memorize that passage,
yeah.
I didn't realize how much fruit would come from that. And what's funny is I actually memorized the wrong passage at first.
Oh, no.
And then a few weeks ago, I was looking at it and going, I have a different passage. But it was exactly what God needed me to be in.
Yes.
So even that, it was like, there's so much fruit there in knowing that. And one of the things, I tend to stay awake, sleepless a lot of nights. That's when a lot of my worries and anxieties come. And I found that one of the best ways for me to fight the fears that can just, they kind of close in on you, like when the darkness comes. And I had seasons where I would have panic attacks at night because that darkness came and everything stopped and it would just hit me.
Right.
That it was only the word that could really calm my heart.
Yes.
And so meditating on it, then it was like chewing on it.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book by Tim Keller, The Reason for God.
Okay.
And in one of the chapters, because he talks about one of the reasons why people turn from God or where they say, I'm not going to believe in God, is the problem of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
How do we serve it? You know, how is God good when there's great suffering? And he was the one who said, God suffered for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have the only God who actually came and entered into the story, you know, was in a body that was bound by time and human limitations, all of those things. And he suffered for us. And that's physically, that's mentally and emotional. I mean, he was despised, rejected. Yeah. And, you know, the description is there was nothing about him that was beautiful. You know, that's what Isaiah 53 says. You know, people were like, oh, we want somebody that looks like Saul, you know,
yes.
Not somebody that it's not beautiful. And God is so, he's so opposite of what we think, you know, in our flesh. And so I'm so encouraged by that. We can encourage each other to get back to memorizing scripture.
Yes.
I would love to do that because I'm like, that discipline, there's so much fruit in it.
Yes.
Because the moments, you know, the reality is we're probably, you know, reading the Bible 10, 20, 30, maybe an hour depending on the day. But then we're awake for
so
14 other hours.
Yes.
And, you know, we're out, like we're taking care of our kids. We are maybe at church, maybe at the grocery store, like we're out at all these places. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, memorizing scripture, it's like that is just, he's just going to keep bringing that to mind. So it takes it with us.
Yes.
So in those moments, we can remember.
We've been hearing from Gretchen Saffels, author of The Well-Watered Woman, and from Sierra Deerking. She continues to serve the Lord and her family after losing all four of her limbs to infection. To hear her incredible story about loss and gratitude, visit reviveourhearts.com. We heard from Sierra and her husband David earlier this week, and you can hear those episodes in our archives. And check out the video, Always Grateful. Sierra displayed an amazing sense of thankfulness during her incredible loss. A book by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth helped her maintain this attitude. The book is called Choosing Gratitude, and we'd love to send you a copy to help you maintain a thankful heart, no matter your circumstances. We'll send it as our way of saying thanks when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Visit reviveourhearts.com where you can make your donation and request the book, Choosing Gratitude by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. I hope you'll join us tomorrow when Nancy leads us through a psalm of thanksgiving. Don't let Thanksgiving be just a day on a calendar. I hope you'll take time to fill your heart with gratitude. Nancy will help you do that. So join us again tomorrow here on Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.